average ice cover on the Great Lakes has dropped to one of the lowest levels on record this winter. It's Wednesday, March 29th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning. I'm Hope Kerwin. Coming up, Anya Van Wagtendonk reports on how much money has been raised and spent in the upcoming race for the state Supreme Court. And we've got a story from Wisconsin Life about two friends during the Vietnam War. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
Average ice cover on the Great Lakes has dropped to one of the lowest levels on record this winter due to warmer than normal weather. Daniel Kading has more.
This year has tied 1998 and 2020 for the third lowest average ice cover on the Great Lakes since the beginning of the season at just under 6%. That's according to scientists with the NOAA Great Lakes Environmental Research Lab. In winters with less ice, researchers say the lakes have more time to warm up. Hillary Dugan is an assistant professor with the University of Wisconsin-Madison Center for Limnology. She says that creates concerns about more growth of cyanobacteria or blue-green algae that thrive in warmer waters.
Scientists are concerned that, you know, maybe these years where we see cyanobacterial blooms on the shorelines of Lake Superior have to do with ice dynamics the winter before.
Records dating back 50 years show only 2002 and 2012 had lower average ice cover on the lakes. Daniel Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
As baby boomers continue to retire, Wisconsin hospitals are bracing for rapidly increasing health care demand that could worsen the industry's labor shortage. That's according to a new report by the Wisconsin Hospital Association. The report says more health care workers are retiring at the same time the state's aging population needs more medical care. People over 65 account for over 40% of health care use, but make up 20% of the population. Roughly 1 in 4 Wisconsinites will be of retirement age by 2030. Burnout from the pandemic also caused some healthcare professionals to leave the industry. Ann Zank is with the Hospital Association.
The past couple of years have really put a lot of challenges on the table all at the same time for healthcare.
Even with workforce shortages, she says hospitals are staffing more beds than before the pandemic. The candidates for Wisconsin's highly anticipated Supreme Court race have filed their spring fundraising numbers. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, the Liberal candidate Janet Protasiewicz outraised her conservative opponent, Dan Kelly.
In the last 6 weeks, the Protasiewicz campaign raised more than $12 million compared to Kelly's $2.2 million. Protasiewicz received most of her funds from the state Democratic Party. Kelly's campaign had a larger proportion of individual contributions. Not reflected in the mandated disclosures? Spending by outside groups, which may already exceed $22 million. Kelly has the advantage there. Matt Rothschild directs the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, which tracks money in politics. He says those huge dollar figures are becoming a pattern.
The noise you hear is all the records being shattered every time there's a race in Wisconsin now.
This is the most expensive court race in American history. Election Day is Tuesday, April 4th. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers is asking the Republican-led state legislature to raise pay for corrections workers in the next state budget. More than 1,000 correction officer positions are empty at Wisconsin prisons, and several medium and maximum security prisons have staff vacancy rates above 50%. Department of Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr told Wisconsin's Joint Finance Committee Tuesday higher pay could be part of the solution.
Our correctional officers deserve to be recognized for the dangerous work they do and the lack of quality of life they endure.
Evers' budget would raise starting base pay for corrections workers to $33 an hour. He's also asking to beef up hourly bonuses available to workers at higher security prisons. Coming up after the break, we've got a conversation about serving in the Vietnam War from Wisconsin Life. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on. And in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Tyler Ditter with a story about two friends who served in the Vietnam War together.
James Blankenheim and Everett Wood are friends with a shared experience of military service during the Vietnam War. They speak of the excitement of forging one's path in life, the realities of combat, and the struggles of integration after returning home. Blankenheim and Wood shared their experience as part of StoryCorps' Military Voices initiative. As a warning, parts of the story describe battleground violence.
My name is Jim Blankenheim, 71 years old, and I'm in Madison, Wisconsin. And my partner here is a corpsman that was with me in Vietnam.
My name's Everett T. Wood, and my age is 73. And I'm in Vincennes, Indiana. The relationship to Jim is, he was a forward observer with us and called in artillery, airstrikes, and tried to help us out during the bad times when we needed help. So how did you get involved? Did you get drafted?
No, I enlisted. My father, when I turned 18, made the comment that he thought I'd never amount to shit. And I said, I'll show you. And not only would I join the military, but I would join the toughest branch they had. That's how I got the Marine Corps. And also, I felt I needed to do my duty anyway. It's run through our family. So how about you, Doc?
Well, I got off high school. I didn't know what I wanted to do in life. My parents didn't have very much money. You know, I didn't want them to help me through school. You know, I just wanted to be on my own and try to find my own direction, I guess. So I joined the Navy. So remember Hill 1192?
Oh, yeah. That was probably the bloodiest battle we saw.
That was the worst I've ever gone through.
There was like 80 of us walked up into the mountains on what they said was going to be a three-day patrol. What was it, 15 days later we got out of there?
15 guys died up on that hill.
We had no place to put the bodies or the wounded, so they all laid right in the middle of our mini perimeter. And Milligan was there. He got shot in the chest and shot in the leg.
Right. I patched him up.
He lasted 4 days before we could medevac him out. And when he went out, I thought he was dead. I thought he'd never make it. We went to that reunion in Ohio, and he showed up there, and I went, you got to be kidding me. You're alive?
I know.
Because I didn't think he made it.
I didn't even know.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, once they left, we put them on a helicopter.
Yeah, it's the last you heard.
I mean, you don't know if they're alive or dead. They never hear from them. So it's tough.
Did you write home?
I wrote home when I could, you know.
I could not tell my mother what was going on over there because it would have killed her.
Yeah, I know.
I just said, you know, like, you know what it was for us for a typical day? That's all I called it. You remember when we came home? The welcome home we got?
I don't know. I mean, I had problems adjusting when I came back.
Yeah, so did I.
I kissed the ground when I got home, when I got in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I come home, and I walk in the door, and my dad was totally unaware that I was even coming home. And I walked in, and he gave me this big hug. And in my entire life, he never hugged me like that. And I said, you know, for every rotten thing you ever did to me, you paid for it that day.
I mean, I was really happy to be back. After seeing all the stuff we went through, I'm glad we made it through that experience together.
Yeah.
And after all these years, meeting each other again.
That was James Blankenheim of Madison, Wisconsin, and Everett Wood of Vincennes, Indiana. They shared their experience as part of StoryCorps' Military Voices initiative, which is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Tyler Ditter.
Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Hope Kerwin, and this week for Alex Crow. Our producers are John Davis and Bridget Bowden. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find more news anytime at WPR.org. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.